This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe.
Welcome again to another episode. In fact, this one's number 16 of GamesAtWork.biz. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Michael Rowe.
Hello, hello.
And we are going to do a going mobile.
Kind of a little song
and dance maybe thing here for you.
Well, I promise not to dance if you promise not to sing.
My wife will be happy if I don't sing, so I will not sing. But I'll dance.
Yay!
Okay, no, I'm just
Where's Waldo? No.
So we have a fun little article to discuss today that you found through your reader.
Yes, I am a voracious reader of RSS feeds.
Slytherin
feeds. Matter of fact, I think I'm over 100 different feeds that I peruse almost every day.
That's too many feeds.
That's too many feeds, but you know what? I use the app Reader.
Yes.
R-E-E-D-E-R, because we want to help the kids spell.
Yes.
Which I guess is better than most like Web 2.0 apps that just remove vowels. Sure. This one has the correct number of vowels, even if they're wrong.
Well, they should put more in there.
They should put extra. Fun. Yeah. It should be Reader. Anyway, and this one was...
It's fruity and delicious.
One of the feeds that I look at is TechCrunch.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I can't remember if we talked about it on the show, but a couple of weeks ago, the TechCrunch guys did a local meetup.
Yes, it was there.
Here in Durham, yes.
I know.
And had a really good time talking to a lot of different people, and I actually put my experience on that on my other blog, triangleappshow.com, which is about the local app development scene in the Research Triangle area.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, shameless self-promotion here.
Same as cross self-promotion.
Cross, yes. But the thing is...
Cross-dressing self-promotion?
No, I don't cross-dress. I only wear one dress at a time.
different address.
I listen to a lot of podcasts also, and I listen to a lot of podcasts about mobile.
Yes.
And most of them seem to think that the entire world of mobile development is in San Francisco or Silicon Valley.
Sure.
And we know that is, wrong.
Ooh.
There's huge amount of developers on the East Coast. There's a hotbed of mobile development in New York and Boston,
Route 128, yep.
RTP area. Yep. Matter of fact, one of my recent apps that I started playing with called Dromo, which allows me to capture and monitor information about my Drobo, is based out of Germany.
Oh.
So, keeps moving east across the globe. And who knows, eventually we'll find some pretty cool apps from Hungary, probably.
You never know.
I try to keep up with what's going on in the mobile world. TechCrunch is a great way of understanding what's going up with startups, who's getting investment money, what are they doing with it, what kind of cool things are going on. And I saw this back on August 1st, which is a startup called Mango Health.
Yes.
And what it's about is really a mobile app that... is going to allow people to be rewarded for keeping track and that they're taking their medications that they're supposed to be taking on the right schedule, the right time, etc. And I immediately thought virtual reward activity for a real life behavior driven by a piece of software playing games with health.
Yeah.
So I felt it was an ideal one for the show. And just as a quick aside, as part of the TechCrunch article, there was a couple of key people that are investing in this that, looking at some of their past successes were interesting. There's Mark Pincus from Zynga. For those of you who play Draw Something, you may know that name.
Yep.
And Keith, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Robose, who is the COO of Square. Years ago we talked about the Square app on our other podcast, which is now defunct, Dog Ear Nation, which was this great little square brick that you would attach into the audio port,
yep,
the headphone jack on your iPhone. And it made your iPhone basically a little cash register.
Yes. In fact, did you use that today?
I did not use it today, but I have one.
Mm.
So, did you use it today?
No, but I noticed on Foursquare you were at Bean Traders.
Yes, I was.
And the Bean Traders at Meadowmont does use exactly that if you use a credit card.
Yes, but I pay cash.
Ah.
Because I like to support my local businesses with cash so they don't get hit with the fees. Even though the great thing about Square is the fees on Square were significantly less than your traditional device that's provided by a credit card company, be that, you know, MasterCard or Visa or American Express. So for local companies, Square really is nice to them. And if you're hanging out with your buds at the bar and one of you is paying the tab, the rest can swipe their credit cards on their iPhones and transfer the cash for their part of the tab.
So going back to the
so
actual
back to the article.
Free range mangoes. Yeah, so this one is talking about adherence to your medical regime, right? So you're taking the pills when you need to, you're taking them on the schedule that you need to. Now, you've had an app for a while, Michael, that that works from a meal point of view too, where you snap photos of your meal and it does a calorie calculation. So one would think that the same kind of concept might apply here too, where you would take a snapshot, for example, of the pills that you're supposed to take as part of the proof that you actually took them.
Yeah, and just for people's benefit who might be wondering what that other app is, because it's kind of cool, is called Meal Snap. And what Meal Snap does, as you described, you take a picture of the meal and it estimates the calories. It tries to figure out what the heck you're actually eating.
Yes.
And what's really entertaining about this is that sometimes they get it really wrong, which, you know, that's okay. They're building
an asset library.
Food recognition asset library.
Yes.
The other thing is, I don't know what they're doing on that app, just to kind of, again, rat hole for 30 seconds. But I have noticed that every time that iOS upgrades, they must be doing enough low-level stuff in that app that it does not work with any beta versions of iOS.
Hmm. Interesting.
It always tends to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Not work.
OES. Crash.
Not work.
Yeah. Not work, yes.
Not work.
But a great little app nonetheless. So back to Mango.
So this is great. We use it as a launch point. We go away. We come back. We go away. We come back. We go away.
You know what that is a symptom of?
ADD.
A problem with drugs.
Yeah. No. So the particular article, the things that I don't know. It struck me when I was reading it. It's like, okay, so guys, come on. You know, if you take your medications on time, it's going to reward you with a coupon for something. It's like, yeah, that's fun, but I was with you. Where I read the value into this could be not virtual. Well, it could be virtual currency, right? It could be that there are better health outcomes that come as a result of you taking your medicine on time and in the proper dosage and amounts. And because of that, that should earn you a rebate because your
health insurance
should, in theory, you know, you should require less because you're doing everything you possibly need to.
Think about it. There's companies that currently will put a device tracker in your car to check your driving habits.
Yes.
And you could, in theory, game that in a positive way. I don't mean game the system, but you could game that behavior to encourage you to drive slower.
You could.
Right? To pay attention to posted speed limits, to understand the road conditions at the time you're driving, to see if there's a big storm in the area at the time that you're driving 75 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone, you're probably an insurance risk. Because if you were to drive slower than the posted speed limit because of the really heavy storm, you're probably driving safer. So that would be good too.
Yeah.
The other thing, and this is where crowdsourcing comes into play, if you look at how the rest of the traffic is going, if you're doing 35 in a 35 mile an hour zone, everybody else is doing 70, you're probably a hazard.
Yes.
And probably that big fire that's coming down the road, you ought to get the heck out of the way. but the thing is, the more people who, here's a great example for the medical one, flu season. Right? One of the problems with flu season is that they keep trying to come out with drugs that help flu symptoms, but also try to stop it.
Yes. Dead in its tracks.
And the problem with that is, if you don't get enough people taking the drug correctly, just like antibiotics, you build up resistant diseases. So if you had this app, say, at a convalescent home,
yep.
And there is a strain of...
Oh, MRSA, who knows, whatever.
Bacterial pneumonia. Is there such a thing? I think there is. Let's say there is. If everybody's taking their antibiotics, it will die off quickly. If people don't, that could be a problem. And if you forget to take them, then you're actually building up the resistance of the disease. So there's another gaming factor, which you could do, like, kill bird flu. Instead of angry birds, this could be angry bird flu killers. And you could game that.
And it could reward you with the ability to play a game.
The ability to play again.
Yes, because you won't die. You will get a chance to continue.
Speaking of dying.
Well, no. You left a good one there. So
go for it.
The epidemiological aspects of what you just described is really quite intriguing.
It's crazy cool.
Especially when you can take it to places and spaces, mobile assets that don't have that capability and haven't had it before. I'm now going to go way back in my own little time machine to 1989,
back in the day when you used to have to program by candlelight.
No. I had an opportunity to work with some African physicians that were focused on epidemiological studies that had assets. I'm not looking at whatever you're showing me because you're distracting me.
It's a great game that we're going to hit next.
Okay,
that's where I was going.
But so the end of the story is...
No, give us the middle.
No.
You started and you ended. There's no middle.
There's plenty of middle, but you just...
Give us an appropriate middle.
Hide me.
Appropriate middle.
Distract me from my topic.
Show us the middle.
I'm not... By ensuring, like you were saying before, that patients are actually taking the dosages, we can have the better chance of not developing resistant strains of various diseases, like you said. And there could be a tracking mechanism as well that might, from a geospatial location-based thing,
just like the car,
just show that. And you might also have reminders set up with geofencing that says, oh, you've just returned home,
maybe you should wash your hands. Yes,
right? maybe it's time to take, you know, this pill because you're now home and your calendar says you're going to be leaving for the rest of the day, so remember.
You could have the audio kick in, and if you hear a flush, you say, maybe you should wash your hands.
Maybe.
Right?
You could do all kinds of things.
You could do all kinds of really cool things.
And hospitals have been very successful with hand washing programs that have really put a focus on compliance with hand washing.
Well, and that was one of the
things. And phones would be carriers of various diseases because you're holding them.
That's right. One of the really interesting things, finally, a couple of weeks ago, finished up reading the Reality is Broken book.
Yes.
And really about the behavior change, how you could change real-life behavior with games, right? That was sure. Kind of the overreaching premise. And this is another good example of that. But what I was trying to...
Overarching.
Did I say overreaching? I didn't say overreaching.
You said overreaching.
Oh, well.
You can edit it out.
I won't.
We'll fix it in post.
Sure. So one of the games that I've been playing recently, I can't remember if we talked about this on the show, but if not, tough. And if we did, double tough. So this is a game called Plague.
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about this?
You showed it to me.
Oh, this is an awesome game. So
double awesome?
It really is. It's kind of fun. It's you try to kill off the human race.
Yes.
And my brother...
And when you win?
You kill off the human race. my brother does work currently for the CDC, had worked for the CDC, went to work for another company in between, and has been studying communicable diseases and flu for 20 plus, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, 30 years. Has it been 30 years? No, 20 plus years.
That's
89, 88. How long is 88? 14 years. 15, 24 years. 25 years. A long time. He's old. My brother's old. Anyway, and what this game allows you to do is, basically try to change behavior. And because you start off with a disease and you say, let's do a bacteria and we'll name it, Carolina
Fever.
BB. Well, let me.
So for those of you at home, we're playing a game on the phone.
And so the way the game does is you start off and you have DNA points, and your goal is to start the disease vector somewhere on the globe, and
like Antarctica.
You pick a place, and then based off of that.
Yeah.
That location, there's certain characteristics that you want to enhance. So if you do it in a very dry area, you want to make it very strong to deal with dry, arid areas, hot, etc. And you also don't want the disease to mutate too fast, because if it mutates too fast and becomes a problem to where people recognize that this disease is occurring, they'll start doing research to heal people or to kill the disease.
Mm.
And so as you manipulate the disease over time, you gain more DNA points and you start setting up vectors to spread the disease. I've only wiped out the Earth once.
And playing it on what? On hard or ultra hard or
no,
basic?
No, on the easy mode. Because your goal is once you get to a certain point, it's like, I just want to kill people. Kill. Right? So I did a virus, because bacteria versus virus, there's different types. You know, you could do a biological weapon. And each of these have different characteristics on how they spread and grow. But it really does, the whole goal of the game is to actually teach you the behaviors to combating communicable diseases.
By having you play
the disease.
The disease.
Yes.
Yes.
And so you learn things like, you know, about hand washing, about eradicating.
Safe water supplies.
Water supply impacts, things that go through rats, right? Yeah. So there's all these different disease vectors that can spread it that you want to manipulate to cause it to be fast spreading, very strong, target rich countries first, so you reduce the amount of spend once the disease becomes
globally
effective,
viral,
and starts killing people. Because if you can wipe out the rich country, there will be less money invested in to cure the disease. Because it's amazing how fast they can cure the world once they put all the money behind it. Now, the other interesting factor about that, which is kind of the funny part to me, was that since my brother does do this type of work, do you remember the movie, I can't remember if it was Contagion or Outbreak or one of those movies with Dustin Hoffman?
No, but I was just looking up The White Plague. I don't know if you've read that book by Frank Herbert.
I have not read Frank Herbert's White Plague. I've read many of his books.
Yeah.
But
you might like that
one. The basic premise in the movie is Ebola, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But they find patient zero, and they're struggling to break the disease apart, and, like, they figure it out, and within 15 minutes, they have enough dosage to cure the world.
Well,
well, no.
Hooray for Hollywood.
right. So anyway. But, that's kind of the problem. And the game, at least it takes a year and a half to cure the world once they have cured the disease.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I wish
don't want it to be too easy.
It should be easier.
So coming back to the game. Back to the Mango game too. One of the comments on the TechCrunch article itself is from a guy named Blake Henderson, who is the innovation coordinator at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and co-founder of PrimeWellness.com, and says, "Hey, you know what? We're trying to do something similar for physical therapy exercise." Awesome. Because when you think about compliance,
another big problem.
My son is doing physical therapy right now, and he has to go and do these exercises every day. And to be honest with you, I am really amazed by his dedication that he actually does them. He needs a little prod every once in a while, but he actually does them and is really conscientious about them. And I think physical therapy is another great example of things that people will put off and say, I'm doing better, right?
Yeah, as someone who has broken a foot and did all the therapy religiously for the, couple of months that I was dealing in recovery.
Yep.
It's not over at that point, because now, many, many, many years later, I'm still dealing with stuff because I did not adhere to the appropriate physical therapy at the time. So, having a game that actually works to something that not only betters the person, but betters society as a whole, and uses a very simple mechanic, in this case, what are you taking? How often do you take it? Let me remind you.
Yeah.
And then adds some kind of reward back into it that makes it fun from a gaming perspective, and not just a badge or a leaderboard, right? But I really can't wait to see as this company comes a little bit further out of their startup mode and starts showcasing what they're working on. Yeah. But the concept, I think, is really cool.
Give a song. Give you a song that you can go and buy from a various place.
So
you know.
So speaking of song,
Amazon, iTunes, whatever.
Speaking of song, had you picked up Chirp yet?
No.
Okay.
Sounds like another tweeting application.
Oh, it's even better than that. So download it real quick on your phone. Look up Chirp, and the icon is a yellow box that looks like that. See the bottom?
Yep, I see. Okay. Okay.
And you say, Michael, should I do
this? Is this the one that deletes everything once you put it on your
phone? This one formats your hard drive on any machine that you've ever worked on in your life to ensure that you are in trouble.
I love it. All right, so let's search for Chirp. By the way, I love the Reuters Olympic apps. That's been pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is, but I just have not had that much time to play with the Olympics this year. I mean, I'm really disappointed. We talked about this earlier today of just not having enough time to enjoy the Olympics, and both of us are pretty big Olympic fans. I missed the opening ceremony.
Get out.
Okay, I'll leave now.
Oh, that's just horrible.
I had my whole brain set up to watch it, and then things just got out of control that night because it was on, you know, tape delay for those
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. All right, so Chirp.
All right. You have it installed?
I have it installed.
Okay, so I'm going to chirp something to you.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Volume is too low. Tap here to turn up your volume.
You ready?
Yeah.
I got to turn on my volume. Ready?
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, look at that.
So what this does, it's kind of a neat little app. It actually allows you to send lots of different things, pictures, whatever, notes, links, and it encodes it as an audio URL.
Yeah.
So anybody can catch that chirp by just turning on the Chirp app while you chirp.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so just make your noise.
Hang on a second. I gotta do a picture this way. There we go.
Okay.
And then we'll say, use that. Preparing image.
So in theory, if somebody were to be listening to this show live, they could immediately have gotten that picture too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I guess so. So, rewind.
Rewind.
Rinse.
And repeat.
Repeat.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
So,
all right. Anyway. So if you turn it off, is it listening the whole damn time too?
Oh, I'm sure it's recording everything that's happening in the background, sending it off to Siri and other servers.
All right.
So anyway, we should probably get ready to kind of wrap the show up.
That's what I was thinking.
But we're going to take about a week break.
Something like that.
Right? Probably. This show will come out on the 12th. Of August.
I love that. That's a good date.
And
I should be in the middle of the ocean by then.
Yes. So we are hoping that by the end of this month, we will have a special guest on the show.
Very special.
We're working on that now. We will not have a show on recorded on the 17th, so coming out on the 19th. So our next goal is to actually have our next show out no later than the 26th.
Yeah. If it's a short one.
Even if it's a short one, like this past week's show.
Yes.
And the week before that.
Do we have a new co-host that...
We are working on that.
Yeah, I know we are, and I'm pretty excited.
And I know they're pretty excited, too. We just got to lock it down.
Good. So we should make that happen.
And other than that, don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Which is facebook.com/GamesAtWorkBiz.
Biz.
And on our Twitter account at GamesAtWork_BIZ.
Yes.
Or our website.
Yep.
GamesAtWork.biz.
.biz.
And on Stitcher Radio.
We're practically everywhere.
On the Blueberry Network. or on iTunes, or if you go to the website, you can get your own personal RSS feed for these episodes. And we want to hear from you, as always. Give us your feedback. What types of games are you playing at work? And we're not talking about the political kind. Just let us know.
Thanks, everybody. And looking forward to continuing the dialogue.
Enjoy the ocean.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.